You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans. We have a loaded episode, and I don't know about you, Mike, but your boy here is seeing red, like your Red Bulls. I got a lot of red cards, and I'm ready to hand them out. But before we do that, you got to continue on your latest, greatest, because you give a good intro, a good teaser in our last episode. So I'm going to go right into that, because you got me waiting. You got the fans waiting, talking about your Red Bulls team and what a former player had to say. So Mike, go ahead and tell us what you got.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, what's going on, super fans? We're back once again, and yeah, quite the intro by my bro. Yeah, man, pretty much I was giving you guys a teaser last week because you know, we've been talking about the MLS and the explosion of the league. And with Messi alone, just the star power that they're getting right now. And it's a lot of money that's starting to flow, right? Of course, we know the Apple deal. We talked about the sponsors, one of the previous episodes. What were we talking about, Maddie? We got Michelob Ultra now. We got, Captain Morgan. I'm just naming some of these corporate, right? We got Celsius. We got all of these sponsors coming in.
It's Audi.
Audi, the official vehicle of the MLS and whatnot, right? So, you know, it's a lot of money flowing over here, and that's good, right? That's definitely a good thing. Anytime you can see these guys getting paid, deservedly so. But, one of my former players, he had some very, very interesting comments that he made. And I'm just going to be honest, Maddie, I think it's a lot of truth to it. And I'm just going to start off by reading this quote, and then we can take it from there. All right, guys? So walk with us on this, right? So this is coming from one of my greats, Sean Wright Phillips from my Red Bulls. He made a statement here recently, about a week ago, and he said, you aren't going to feed your family. He told, he was speaking to, just speaking in general, right? He was telling, you know, I think he was in a press conference and he was just talking about it. And he said, talented American kids are being forced to retire from soccer at just 18 years old. And, you know, what he was saying is that's why you look at a lot of the top athletes in America. They're not gravitating towards soccer because they're not afforded or they're not able to take care of their family like these other sports, you know, MLB, NBA, of course, NFL. NHL, I mean, these guys are getting crazy dough, right? And I don't be too long-winded, but Maddie, you know, what say you on that?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you got these guys that are, you know, can't even get their career off the ground and, you know, seemingly, you know, being retired early on. I mean, me and you both are big supporters of the U.S. men's national team. And think about how many guys haven't even gotten their chance or their call because, you know, maybe they wanted to go pro, but they couldn't afford it. They couldn't make it happen. They couldn't, you know, financially make it work out for them. So then the U.S. men's national team doesn't see them and goes, you know, forward from there. I mean, this is a snowball effect, and it starts with, you know, these teams that, you know, we're kind of the MLS, like we've said, celebrating 30 years. It's like, okay, 30 years is good, but where are you going to be, you know, going forward in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now? If you don't start investing in the players, that are making your product successful, it's been slow moving, and I hate to see that. I mean, we're going over a list, looking at some of these salaries, and it makes you whoo.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said early in the episode, seeing red, MLS, these salaries got to come up. I'm giving the red card to the MLS with this. I mean, without trying to, you know, really go off the handles, it's kind, it's piss poor. It really is. I mean, some of these guys are making, I mean, if you're listening to us, you might be making more than some of these guys are, and they're professional athletes. That's crazy.
No, go off the handle. You need to go bare knuckle right now. You need to just go savage mode right there. Super savage mode right now. Because this is atrocious, guys. This, like Maddie just said, you got Patrick Adjiman, one of the up-and-coming young stars of the MLS with Charlotte. We've saw this kid play. We've been there a couple times to the stadium. And this kid is electric, right? Maddie, tell the people how much this kid is making right now.
$71,000.
What?
Now, and these numbers are according to Capology, so that we're clear. Now, this is not a, we kind of have been debating back and forth on the accuracy of these numbers, but if it's not that, if it's even a little bit more, that's still that. I mean, as I previously stated, we might have some listeners that are making more than this now. And we're talking about a, you know, he's, I believe, 24 yes. year old professional athlete.
Yes.
And granted, he's going to be making more. His contract is coming due, and he's about to definitely make more than that. But this goes to the point that in the article, Mike, from your player, from Wright Phillips.
Right.
He's making the point. If Adjiman, who is still on his rookie level deal, because he's a super draft pick, yes. he's still on that deal making $71,000, according to Capology. And this is MLS, which is the highest tier here in America. You can right. imagine what some teams in the championship, the USL Championship, in USL 1, the, you know, the beginning championship, MLS Next Pro. You can imagine what those salaries look like.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and just to go back to my guy, Sean, he said that here's his quote. He said, I saw a lot of kids that were very, very, very talented retire from football at 18 years old because their parents were telling them it's not a life. You aren't going to be able to feed your family. A lot of them stopped playing and carried on with college. The only way to change it is the ruling. And, you know, and he's played over in Premier League. He's played all around. And, yeah, he's pretty much calling these guys out. And it's some kind of way. I mean, the infrastructure that we have over here, there's no reason, guys, that, I mean, Maddie and I, they're making it the average salary of a, you know, what? A regular smuggler citizen over here, $71,000. And then you look at Haglin, from Cincinnati and speedy recovery for Haglin. I think he had a couple cracked ribs, the match against Atlanta. And Maddie's going to just a little prelude. He's going to go into that later. But, yeah, he's only getting $90,000, Maddie. And good thing they have a good insurance to take care of this kid medically, because $90,000, that's peanut money also.
Yeah, that is just not a lot. I mean, to be doing the things that they have to do, and we mentioned this. So the MLS, they play for 8-9 months out of the year, maybe 10 months out of the year, and you only get maybe a month to 2 months, you know, to spend with your family, like no obligation as far as, you know, playing the game or training and things like that. So you're going across the country. If you're in Miami, you're going across the world, you know, doing their little tours that they have, right? So you're doing all of these things for $70,000? I mean, I guess, you know, for a love of the game, but, you know, when this Apple deal took place and they're talking about the money that's going to be involved and everything else, it's like, you know, it's $2.5 billion for 10 years. That's $250 million a year if you just do the basic math.
Right.
And it's like $250 million paid to the you know, to the league, and there's now 30 teams. So it doesn't – you don't have to be a math major to start thinking like, hey, where's this money going? Like, you know, understand the product on the Apple TV itself, the broadcasting and everything. They've gone and they've stepped their game up. But that shouldn't cost $250 million.
Exactly. And just to kind of piggyback off, you mentioned Inter Miami, and there's another player down there, Federico Redondo. He's only getting $150K, bro. And he's an integral part of that. Yeah. That's, yes, it's shocking. You're right. And it doesn't make sense. I mean, shout out to Messi. Messi's getting like, what, 20.5 or whatever, total salary or whatever out there. And this kid, great player, backbone of the team, and he's only getting $150K, which, you know, again, you have people that's going to school, getting a degree, making that type of money. I mean, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. Yep. Yep. And like Maddie said, you got a whole, pretty much a whole year. These guys only getting a month or two off at that. Mm-hmm. They're playing the whole year, guys. And we spoke about, we've already mentioned in previous episodes, other forms of, you know, just bringing more money into the MLS. And like I said, we have all these sponsors. More platforms, guys. We talked about it. And just linear is another thing, getting the product out there to more people. You know, Amazon, Tubi, I mean, Pluto, I mean, just... I don't know. They gotta figure out how to get more money. And I know it's blowing up. We're gonna be getting a lot more money, and then they gotta pay these players, guys. And particularly the American players, because there are a lot. We have a lot of top. I'm not tooting our horn, but we have a lot of great athletes over here in America, and a lot of them aren't choosing to play soccer because of this. Because they're like, oh, I'm not gonna make any money doing that, you know. And it's sad.
Yeah, and what's sad about that statement you just made is you're talking about over here. We went through and did like a, compiled a list of different leagues and the average. So you did the average based on Capology, of course. And everybody can go on that website and you know, use it for reference, but also to see that we're not just making this up. We're not just pulling this, you know, out of the clouds.
Right.
According to Capology, the MLS average salary, and that's taking the top and the bottom, the whole thing, right? The average salary is $350,000. And right. If you look at other top leagues, you got Serie A in Italy, I think was $2.2 million is the average.
Right.
And then you had the – what was it? The I don't want to say I don't I keep on messing I messed it up before the Eredivisie, it's the Dutch league. I think they're similar in pay to our league, but still pay more. I think their average was like $750,000, and for that league. Then we looked at League One, which is the French league. I believe they were at $1.7 million for their average.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the you know, the bigger money ones was the Premier League. I think it what was that, Mike, for the average on that one?
The Premier League, if I'm not mistaken, was like, it was like 3-4 million, bro.
The average was,
it was like 3.4. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was like 3.4 million or something like that.
OK.
And then Saudi was crazy. Their league was like 7 million per year.
Yeah. Yeah, the Saudi, they pay crazy money. And see, this is what we're running into, right? Instead of having our guys run to these other leagues because, you know, they pay more. I mean, naturally, it's a market. Mm-hmm. And you've got a talent, if you've got a specific talent, and then, you know, this isn't just a teams thing. This is a, I mean, just an average industry, you know, thing. I mean, right. you're on the road, and I work, and if you have a skill, and someone's paying you X amount of dollars to do it, but you have a different company, a different whatever you want to look at it, paying you twice or three times, you would be silly not to be like, hey, sorry guys, love it here, but I can triple my money. I mean, it's just going to happen. And that's kind of what we have going on here in the MLS. I mean, there's a couple of leagues that don't quite pay where they're at. I mean, Brazil is one of them where the guys can come over here and maybe get a spotlight from the Brazilian Premier League that they have. Maybe some of the younger, like 18, 19, like really up before they, you know, really hit their stride to kind of come right here to shine a light on them. And then the I cannot say that word, Mike. It's going to get it's a tongue twister every time. The Dutch league. I'm just going to say the Dutch league.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Kevin Dinke from Cincinnati. He come from the Dutch league. There's been a couple of other players, Joseph Paintsil, last year, they come from the Dutch leagues, right? So we're getting some of the players from these leagues, but as a general rule, we'll get some of these guys like a Christian Pulisic, which I know he's kind of right now. It's a sensitive topic to talk about him because of the U.S. men's national team and the whatever's going on there. I'm sure Mike will get into that, right? But yeah, this is – it's sad to see because you don't want to – for me personally, I don't want to support something that, you know, they're not paying the people, you know, somewhat fairly. And
right.
I think this could be eradicated with, you know, possibly more negotiating. I don't know when they're – pretty sure they're part of a union, so – whatever the next collective bargaining agreement or whatever it is, these players need to get together and say, hey, like, we're playing for peanuts. We demand to be paid more out of the share because a couple weeks ago I shared with you on the top list, it was like the 50 list of most not profitable, the most valuable, list of most. Yeah, 50 most valuable franchises. Mm-hmm. 19 of the 50 was MLS teams. Hello, Mike.
Yeah.
So you can't say that you ain't got the money. You're 19 of the 50's that's, most valuable.
That's about a third, almost a third, yeah. They got the money. They're very valuable.
That's like two-thirds of the league. 20 out of 30 would be two-thirds.
Two-thirds. Oh, that is two-thirds. You're correct. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah.
MLS, wow. I'm giving you a red card. Look, pay the people more, man. It ain't far.
Yeah, I mean, I always put myself in the shoes of these guys. I mean, we love, Maddie and I, we love sports. You know what I'm saying? Soccer, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. You know, we're super fans at heart. And we'll, you know, growing up, we'll play for free, right? But can you imagine you dedicate your life, you become a professional, you know, one of the best in the world, and you're getting... you know, 9-to-5 money. That's pretty much what some of these guys are getting. And, you know, it goes back to what, Sean said. Hey, you know, you're better off getting a degree. Heck, you even got kids over here playing college sports that's getting NIL money that's millionaires. They're not even pro athletes and they're making millions, right?
Yeah.
We see this. Yeah, these dudes are making a mil, two, three, four, five mil, and they ain't even pros yet. But you mean to tell me the MLS... got these guys making, you know, cashier money, and nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy, bro.
It is. But let's move on, Mike, to our next topic. we discussed about two episodes ago where, you know, Messi had a falling out and a crashing out about the referee situation. It was after the San Jose game. And he was very, very adamant about a certain referee, and he was told to get away and this and that. And then the week after, he didn't like the way that the plays were called, and he was saying that the referee should be investigated. At the time,
Orlando City.
Orlando City. You're correct. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you and I both, but me as I'm, you know, in this, I believe I give him a red card. I have to go back and look at that.
I think he did.
I probably did.
And the ref was standing on business.
I'm not going to rescind it. I'm not going to rescind my red card. But I'm going to say that now that some time has passed and I'm seeing how some of these games are being called, maybe Messi's got a point. Yeah, I'm not going to say that something has to be done, but perhaps a consistency level needs to be maintained. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I've had, and we'll get into it because I went to the match Saturday before last. We'll talk about that with Atlanta United and Cincinnati. So it's going to kind of tie into this, and it kind of made me open my eyes. I like I said, I'm not going to rescind my opinion, but I do think that there's some validity to what Messi is saying, right? I definitely got to say that. Just going to the match. We're watching these matches, and, you know, we're pretty much, I'll say, monitoring, like, how they're being officiated. And Messi has some validity to his, you know, to what he's saying. And shout out to Messi. I think he had a brace the other night, right? Wednesday night, Inter-Miami. He has some diva in him, but I think there's some validity in you know, with the refs. But Maddie, I know you got another red. You're seeing red today, so I know you got another red.
I am seeing red. All right, referees. Right. Pro referees. This is pro stands for what is it? Professional Referee Organization, I believe it is. Okay. So it's an acronym. so it says FIFA and it says FIFA Pro. Anyways, okay. That's the organization that MLS employs for refereeing the games. I got to give them a red card because the inconsistency of from game to game, from referee to referee, it makes no sense. And you mentioned the Atlanta United game, right? Mm. If you're not aware, Mike was at the game, and I had to ask him his point of view, and he was saying that the game was pretty much the ref was letting them play, which that's perfectly fine. I have no issues with that. Mm. But when you have a referee that's quote letting them play, and the play happens to have a player get run into, and whenever you look at the replay, it looks like he was, you know, punched in the ribs. Mm. And granted, these things happen so fast, and everything else. All of that's taken into consideration, but nothing was called. No foul, no yellow, no red, nothing. Mm. Nick Hagelin goes down. The player we just mentioned before, only making $90,000 a year, according to Capology.
Right.
He goes down, and you said it looked like just a normal play. It looked like he may have got the air knocked out of him.
Yeah, he rolled around on. He was on the ground, and Godspeed recovery for him. But he had collapsed lung, 2 cracked ribs. It like I said, it was like a bang bang, you know, we always say bang bang play or whatever, and this guy's hit. And I didn't realize how bad it was at the time, again, because the ref was so lenient. Like, he was literally telling guys to just, you know, play. Like, guys were like pretty much, I'm not gonna say getting out of hand, but they were very physical out there, guys. And, you know, I don't mind that. I like physical play. I like to a certain extent, but I didn't realize it was that bad, but he was on the ground for quite some time, to be honest. And even took a while for their, you know, medical guys to come out there and the trainers to come out there and check him out. So I wasn't quite sure how bad his injury was, but apparently it was pretty bad. And Maddie, you say you saw the I was trying to find the replay. It's kind of hard to find. You say he kind of hit him, kind of punched him, like he punched him in the ribs or whatever.
It did. It did. Looking at the game, but going back and watching the I think it's a replay. You can watch a condensed version of the game. And yeah, it did. It looked like, you know, a coming together, like a, it did look accidental. I'm not saying that it was intentional, but when they come together, that's whenever it looks like he punched him. And that's whenever I'm just like, even if, you know, if you trip someone on the field of play, you trip someone and the ref is right there and sees it, they're probably going to call something. It may not be intentional, but something has to be called. That was my problem with this here, is something had to have been called. Like, something. I mean, you don't just have where they just run into, you know, each other and it's like, hey, nothing. That was extremely disappointing. And my real, real angst, and just like, got to keep myself composed here, but in that same weekend, actually, it was a little bit before, because the game you went to was, that was Sunday night, right? Or Saturday. That was Saturday?
Saturday, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you went to the Saturday game, because they had a lot of games coming fast,
yeah,
and but they played that on Saturday, and then before in the afternoon, you had Chicago Fire was playing NYCFC, and I heard about a red card, so I was like, okay, you know, I went back and because I wasn't watching it, but I was on Twitter and I saw it said, you know, red card in 32nd minute. I'm like, yo, what happened this here? So one of the beautiful things about Apple is, you know, if you know when an event happened or whatever, you can kind of go back and watch it. Mm-hmm. And Brian Gutierrez was given a red card. So I went back and watched it. And at first, when I saw what happened, it was kind of like, very light looking, and I was like, what happened? What's going on? Then they slowed it down, and of course when they slow it down, it makes it always worse. That's just a given. But what it was is, while he was running in his stride, right, he kind of did a little hop, and as he hopped, the player was, you know, near him, his head and the upper body area was near him, and he kind of did his shoulder out a little bit and his elbow up. And you could tell that he definitely, you know, raised it up a little bit, right? And he didn't strike the player, but he did kind of go out and, you know, he made an attempt, like, you know, like right. You could tell something was up. He got a red card. He got a straight red card. They sent him out the game. They said violent conduct, sent him out the game. And my issue that I have, yes, Mike, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Come on. So, he tried to throw a chicken wing. He didn't even hit him, but go ahead.
He didn't even hit him. I mean, and if he did, it was barely. And then the player that he was attempting to, you know, chop block or whatever you want to say, he just said, give him a chicken wing. The player that he was attempting to do that to, right, sensed it or whatever, kind of, you know, grazed him and went down like he was shot. I mean, it was like, oh, this big old to-do. It really wasn't nothing. But, I mean, here you go. You got a incidental conduct. Or incidental contact play that happened in Atlanta, and the guy goes down and clearly in pain, down for a long little while, broken ribs and collapsed lung. Nothing is called.
Nothing's called. Yeah.
Go to New York. You got a floppy chicken wing that barely even grazes the guy. Guy gets a red card, sent out of the game in the 32nd minute. So he's basically out for a half of a game, and now that since he's given a red card, he's going to be out for the next game. You got two different levels of justice here.
Yeah. That's crazy inconsistency. Like, that's crazy work right there. Two ends of the spectrum, and an underreaction and an overreaction, right? MLS, guys, commish, PRO, whatever, referees, you guys need to sit down and get it right. You need to be more consistent. We don't mind physical play, but a lot of this stuff is obvious, it's blatant, and it needs to be called properly, right? Show some consistency, guys. And that's where I'm going to go back to, harking back to what Maddie mentioned earlier with Messi. Messi does have some validity, right? He does, because he's used to playing at a certain level, you know, over in Europe, and, you know, hey, those refs, you already know those refs over there. They're on point, right? So yeah, I definitely agree with you. Something has to be done. And while we're on this, let me just throw in a little Nashville yellow, right? I'm gonna throw a yellow card out. You know what I'm saying? I got a little yellow card. And players, this is for you guys, okay? MLS players, this is for you, right? We watch soccer, football from all over the world, right? Maddie and I, we're soccer heads, knuckleheads. And I'm just gonna compare this to the NWSL, right? The National Women's Soccer League, right? Watch those girls. Shout out to the ladies over there. Their league is exploding, similar to the WNBA. Those women are great, very exciting, fun to watch. Why is it, Maddie? I watch the women, right? They're playing. They're physical over there. It's very exciting. They're getting hit. They're falling. They're hopping up. They're tough. These women are more tough than the guys are. These guys are flopping like fish out of water. They're just selling the call. It's horrible. You know, it's horrible. You guys, I mean, come on. I mean, I know you're not playing with pads and helmets on out there, but dude, show some kahunas out there. You know, that's why when I watched the Atlanta game, the ref was pretty much guys were, you know, shrugging their shoulders and palms up, and he was like, yo, you better get the F out of my face, pretty much. Right? Get the freak out of my face and tell these guys to play. And then he ended up missing a call that should have been, you know, it should have been a yellow, at least with, you know, a latte or whatever. But yeah, man, I just want to give these players, you guys, you're going to get a yellow. You're going to get this work today. You're going to get that yellow card because you're inconsistent with your play as far as all this flopping and stuff, trying to sell it. I get it. But, you know, come on, man. You can't act like you've been shot in the back and you ain't even got hit, right? So that's my little
skill. Too often. I know that last year, and I'll throw my own player under the bus. Last year, Hani Mukhtar, it seemed like every time he turned around, he was falling down. And I used to, and he's gotten a lot better about it this year. I'm glad somebody talked to him, or maybe he just realized, like, hey, I need to stop doing this. But yeah, I would make a joke whenever we went to two games last year, both of them away. One to Charlotte, one to Atlanta. And the game in Atlanta, it was in the, you know, when I'm really noticing it happen frequently, and I'm just like, yeah, it's not a game until Hani flops a couple of times. You know, he's falling down every time you turn around and fussing trying to get calls. And yeah, it gets frustrating to see. I just wish that the referees just be more consistent with it. If you're gonna let them play, let them play, and don't call a red card against Gutierrez. You know, you can say yellow because I could have seen a yellow in that moment, but in the same token, I could see a yellow or more for the latte lock. I think at least both of those. If I'm you know, of course, I've got the benefit of hindsight's 20/20 and you know all of that, right? Latte Lot should have, at a minimum, been a yellow card. And then let them review it and let them make the decision on upgrading it or whatever. Just do that review and leave it up to VAR and let them say, hey, he should stay or not. All right, okay, that would have been a perfect, you know, kind of middle ground. Like, yeah, you did something wrong, right or wrong, right? You know, you could say, oh, it was just accidental contact. All right, whatever. But it's like, hey, don't be doing this. Right. And on the flip side, with Gutierrez, you just say, hey, you dummy. Like, don't do that. Like, yellow card, like, hey, stop. Like, no. But,
right.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off. Yeah, he, in that situation, he had, it was malicious intent, right? But the guy didn't get hit. He didn't actually hit him. So, you know, a yellow would have been fine to kind of set the tone and let him know, hey, you know, but a red? Red? Come on, ref, you got money on the game? I mean, you got dibs on this? What are we doing? You know, you take out a key player like that. That was, I don't know about that, you know?
Yeah, and not for, and again, we just talked about it, but I'm going to reiterate that, not just for that game, but also the next game as well.
This is true. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, man. I don't like that. But I will say this. Us super fans and me being at, shout out to ATL United, Love the atmosphere there. Electric atmosphere. Maddie knows what it is. Love the facility. The fans love the physical play, right? We love it. Let's just be real. We love it. We may touch on that subject a little later, but we love the physical play. We love to see the guys pour their heart, soul out there and, you know, just give it all they got. And that's fine. But as Maddie Savage said, guys, you know, it's unacceptable with these referees, the inconsistency and, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, you know. You really don't know. And so I will go back again to Messi again. He has some, you know, validity to, you know, what he's talking about. I don't know about filing a case against these refs because I don't know about that. Because when they're winning, you don't hear a pin drop over there. But, you know, if they're losing, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Messi had a brace and, you know, he's all, you know what I mean, smiles and giggles and all of that good stuff. But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. We got a couple of things we're still trying to talk about. Excuse me.
Okay.
One of them is we talked about the coaching carousel. We have another coach is riding the carousel.
What?
Yeah, we have Olaf Melberg with and I mentioned that last time we talked. Come last on. Episode. I said. Half of my crystal ball is complete already. I said two or more, and one of the new coaches. This is his first year, right? I mean, what, 14th game? I mean, they can hardly give him any time at all. But St. Louis City decided to part ways with Olaf Melberg, 15 games into the season.
Come on,
so
man, yeah, it ain't funny. It ain't funny, but it's funny business, right? And I get it, you know. I hate when you told me I couldn't believe it. I was shocked, right? And it, we laughed because, and no disrespect to Coach, you know what I mean? You'll bounce back. You'll get a, you know, job somewhere, hopefully. But you didn't have a fighting chance, bro. You didn't have a fighting chance. I mean, Maddie, go ahead. I know you were talking earlier and you were saying that this is the third, what is it?
The third coach in 3 years.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm laughing at because this is Mickey Mouse stuff right here. This is a clown show. I mean, and to get down to the nitty gritty of it, right? So,
right.
Their first year, because they're not that old. They're really not that old of a franchise. They started in 2023, I believe, was their first year.
Yeah.
And then they took the league by storm and won the Western Conference and you know, did their whole thing under Bradley Carnell.
Yeah.
And they had a very quick exit in the first round or whatever. And then they started off poorly last year and they let him go, which was kind of odd. Like, that's whenever you know you're dealing with an odd organization because so in the offseason, after he makes the playoffs, they are the number one team in the Western Conference. They extended Bradley Carnell. He had just signed an extension not that long ago. And I think six or seven games into it, they fire him after he just signed an extension.
Wow. So
and then you have, you know, last year they finished the year under an interim. And this year they get a new coach, right? You know, new coach, new page, Olaf Melberg. They were hyping him up. Oh, if you follow soccer, you know of Olaf Melberg and this and that and third. All right. I never heard of him. Now, no disrespect to him. I just, you know, that's some of the stuff they were saying. And then, you know, 14, 15 games in, you're letting him go? I mean, it's just. If you're a St. Louis City fan, I feel for you because this is. It's when the organization, the ownership, and the general managers are making decisions like this, I mean, you can't be successful. You just can't.
Yeah, and I'm looking here. I just wanted, as you were talking, I was curious. So, the ownership, I'm looking here at the ownership group. You have Carolyn Kendall, Joanne Taylor Kendall, and Jim Cavanaugh. The chairman or chairwoman is Carolyn Kendall. I may have to do a little research on these guys. I'm not sure their background as far as, like, you know, running professional sports teams or whatnot. I don't really know. I don't know what industry or they're coming from, guys. But obviously
they have a very short patience, very short patience when it comes to their coaches. I mean, like Maddie said, this is ridiculous. 3 years, three coaches, you came out like gangbusters and did great your first year, and then the next year you get rid of coach only a couple games in. What are we doing? We spoke about this already, superfans. Earlier we were talking about these teams and owners. I think Maddie might have gave him a red card, or I can't remember. I gave him a yellow card, but they got to take ownership and responsibility for the decisions they make, right? Whether right or wrong. They're blaming all of this on these. This is crazy. The coaches, and Maddie and I both are coaches, you know, they're putting all of the onus and the blame on these coaches, and it's not right.
Yeah.
I mean, Milberg, he comes from, he's from Sweden, right? I know he was a
Premier League,
played many years. I mean, you bring this guy all the way over here, and you don't even, you got the ingredients, and you don't allow him to cook. You know what I'm saying? You guys want to bring the ingredients, you bring the coach, you want to cook, you want to do everything. You don't want to have any patience. And now what they're going to do, the interim will come in, one of his assistants will come in, they'll turn the team around, right? We've seen this happen too often. They'll turn the team around, they'll start winning, they'll get hot, they might even make the playoff. I'm just saying, hypothetically, but we've seen this happen. And he's still going to get fired. And he'll try to
maybe not fired, but not given the position. You're right, Mike. Atlanta United last year.
Oh, Atlanta. Yes, you're right. That dude. Atlanta United, perfect example.
Yep, come Rob on, Valentino.
Man. Oh my God. And they did. They won their first game. What, they got to the second round last year, I think, in the playoffs.
Beat Miami in the first round.
Beat Miami, and this guy couldn't get a contract? Yeah. Arthur Blank, come on, guy. Come on, guy. Yeah, come on, Arthur. We love you, guy. We know you're doing a lot for U.S. soccer and all of that, but dude, what?
All right, Mike, you getting in on St. Louis. I gotta hop in too. Like you get your licks, I gotta get mine. Okay. Yeah, talking about Bradley Carnell. He was their first coach and got them, you know, to the playoffs. They got the number one seed and everything. And wouldn't you know it, he got picked up by Philly. And you know what? Yes. They're number one in the East right
number
now.
Number one. Yes. Yes.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Hey, the ball don't lie, guys. The crystal ball, the crystal soccer ball does not lie. Yes. I'm proud of them.
I didn't believe in Philly. I was just like, I didn't see them, you know, making the jump that they did. So I don't think I had them making the playoffs. But yeah, so that just goes to show that, you know, his style of play can get it done in MLS. It's just, you know, they had a bad, poor run of form to start last year, and instead of, like you just said, not being patient, they should have been patient with him, and he deserved that patience. Let me just be very frank by saying that. Mm-hmm. If you have a coach that goes out and you're right out the gate and you are the number one team in the West from an expansion club, mm-hmm. and you make the playoffs, and yeah, you may stumble in the first round or whatever, but the fact that you don't give him the time, you know, and you just automatically jump to say, oh, it's a sophomore slump, we need to, you know, do something, whatever, whatever, and then let him go. It's like, come on, dude. He has earned the right to at least, you know, give him a little bit of patience. They should have at least waited until after that season. And it's like, if you go, you have a high and then a low. And I mean, we've seen that with LA. We hadn't talked about it on this episode. I'm trying to not really, you know, throw them in things. But, you know, we've seen the way it is. And look at them being patient with their coach. But
He got signed
to the extension, correct.
Extension.
But it's like, they did Bradley Carnell dirty, in my opinion. And I'm glad that he's, you know, turned around for Philly. It's another team, you know, in the East or whatever. We're chasing them. We're third. Yeah. But, yeah, they should have waited. Give it a year. See if he could have maybe turned it around some, because it could have just been the first month or two. They were just looking really bad. And then they, you know, turn it around, maybe, you know, end at 500 and say, okay, I'm glad we didn't, you know, make a, you know, a snap judgment and, you know, a bad decision. And yeah, that was bad on them. And now who knows, this next team that Olof Mellberg goes to, he could, you know, go on a crazy win streak or whatever. I wish nothing but the best for him because it wasn't a very good situation. And yeah, it's hard to root. It's hard to root for clubs like this to be successful whenever you have ownerships and general managers and stuff doing stuff like this. Because you made a good point, Mike, and I give you kudos to this. You're messing with people's lives. He come from, you know, halfway across the world to take this job. And then, you know, in 3 months, he's out of a job? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and they seem to be making decisions on emotion and not precision, like not business decisions, right? They're just moving on emotion. Well, he's not, you know. And that's, man, I don't know. For coaches right now, it's hard on the yard for a coach right now. It's hard on the yard for a coach because you don't know what the expectations are. You don't know, you know? And that impatience is, man, I gotta say this. Out of all of the professional sports, I think MLS is the most volatile when it comes to coaches getting fired. I just gotta say that. Because this is crazy. They don't even do this in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Like, right, this is crazy.
Right. That is correct. They at least let them get a season, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said it's just crazy, Maddie. You said it. You're like, Mike, it's going to be at least.
Yeah. And it's a possibility there could be one more. We're waiting to see. So far, just the one. And then, like I said, it's his first year. But I'm going to say it right now. I can see it. One more coach being their first year. Mascherano, that seems extra hot. I really feel that if they get embarrassed in the Club World Cup, and it is possible that they do, I think that's going to be the event where ownership steps in and says, all right, this guy's got to go.
Unfortunately, you are correct, sir. I can see him next up on the menu, you know, to get filleted out here. I mean, and when are these players going to take accountability too? Come on.
Yeah.
But
this is true. Well, I'm going to wrap up our episode with two quick little things. We haven't talked about the standings in a couple of weeks now. We've kind of been talking about topics. We haven't really talked about scores or standings. And I'm going to run through the Eastern Conference, and Mike, if you run through the Western Conference. So in the Eastern Conference, we got Philly at number one, Cincinnati at number two, my Nashville squad number three, Columbus at number four, Orlando at five, Miami at six, your New York Red Bulls at seven, and New York City FC at eight, Charlotte at nine, New England 10th, Chicago Fire 11th, Atlanta United 12th, DC 13, Toronto 14, and at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, we got Montreal.
Nice, nice. Yeah, guys, so for the Western Conference, we know the Vancouver Whitecaps have been white hot all year. They're number one. San Diego FC, we may speak on them. they're number two right now, and they ain't playing no games out there. Minnesota is at number three. Good job. Seattle Sounders sitting at four. Their crosstown rival, Portland, is at number five. The LAFC sitting pretty at six. San Jose is at number seven. Colorado holding it down at eight. And the Houston Dynamo, shout out to the Houston Dynamo. You guys are, you know, proving me wrong right now. You're at number nine right now. Austin, underachieving Austin, they're at 10. FC Dallas sitting at 11. Real Salt Lake, I thought you guys were going to, it's early still, but I thought you guys were going to be doing better. They're at number 12. Sporting KC is number 13, St. Louis City, sitting at 14. And unfortunately, LA Galaxy is at 15 right now. Y'all know where to go but up, guys, out there in L.A. So, yeah, it's been very interesting. It's been a very, very interesting season thus far, Maddie.
Yes, it has. It's been very – and we're getting closer to the midway point. That's why I kind of wanted to do a little rundown, since we haven't really talked about standings or games in a while. But, yeah, it's shaping up quite nicely. We got plenty of games going forward. But, yeah, I like the way that, you know, we kind of have teams that we expected to be where they're at. There's a few surprises. I know it's kind of funny to me to see that two teams that I definitely did not see even making the playoffs on both sides, the East and the West, and now they're leading those – division. So that's just the way it goes sometimes. You just never know.
Yes, and that's the beauty of MLS. The guys, the MLS, the competitive friction of the MLS is beautiful, guys. You don't know which team. Like I said, Miami is what, six? My Red Bulls, we're sitting at seven right now. We're talking about Miami. You might as well say that's the equivalent of a super team, guys. And, you know, over here, you got to earn it in the MLS. That's what I love about it. You know what I'm saying? Pay these guys. Pay these guys. They're out here putting their heart and soul, you know, on the field, on the pitch. And MLS, you're not paying these guys. Huh. You know what I'm saying? These matches, I love MLS. I mean, me, Maddie and I, we love it. The action, these guys are going hard body out there. And for us super fans, it's great. You know what I'm saying? And shout out to Nashville again, sitting at number three. And I remember I said they were going to be quits, and they exceeded my predictions. But yeah, man,
it's looking good.
It is. What big matchups we have this weekend too? I was just thinking.
Let's see. We got
Sunday.
Looks like you guys are playing Atlanta at 7:30.
Yeah, I already know. Atlanta's hot right now. It's going to be a good
one. It's going to be a good one.
Heat check for us, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, don't forget the big one of the big games. This is not MLS. An MLS team's in it, but it's not MLS. Tomorrow, 10:30, Club World Cup entry or playoff game, you could say. I mean, really, it is a playoff game or play-in game. Between LAFC and Club Americas at 10:30 at BMO Stadium, LAFC. Going to be rocking with them because that's MLS. And we talked about it before. That game right there is worth $10 million because the team just getting into the Club World Cup is $10 million. So we're talking about money to players and things like that. It goes to the owners, of course, but – the owner should be, you know, sharing that with the organization, the team, the players that earned them that money. But that's just a opinion of a super fan over here.
Yes, sir. I will be tuning in to watch that. What is that going to be? Probably, I know, probably catch maybe on Fubo.
It's not, it says, on Apple. DAZN is what it says on the
what is it?
DAZN or DAZN? I don't know how you say that.
DAZN. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's on there. Yeah, that's gonna be a good one. Club America's they're a good club, but yeah, that's the matches we got. I mean, it's got a full slate of matches as well. But I got two topics that I'm gonna get in real quick. Two red cards, right?
More reds.
And they're real quick. They're real quick. Like, I can be quick about it.
You're bleeding right now. Go ahead.
Number one, this is I got one at home and one away. Right. Okay. I'm going to go with home first. Mike, did you hear Luciano Acosta complaining about him being booed in his first game back because he's playing for FC Dallas now, and he got booed in Cincinnati, and he was complaining about it. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it, and I was totally disgusted. I mean, this guy – I mean, dude, this guy was softer than a dirty baby's diaper. Okay, coming out saying that, complaining about the, you know, people booing them. That's what super fans do. We're going to bring that smoke to you every week. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're here for, right? And it's the player's responsibility as professionals to rise to another level, right? To take that and use that as energy and feed off of that and play better, right? We're supposed to inspire you by our booze. I mean, what are we talking about? Go ahead, Manny. I don't want to mess around and curse on you right now. But go ahead.
Like I said, the name of this episode is probably going to be Matty Savage's Red Cards. But right. I mean, really. Come on,
you bloody savage! You bloody savage! You go ahead.
But no, really, he wanted out. He signed an extension last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had 2 years remaining, and then all of a sudden, now he doesn't want to be there anymore, and he forced his way out. Yep. And the fact that you know, I understand just a little small little smidge where he was coming from. The fact that you know. He was able to help the club achieve things they haven't achieved. He won the MVP. They haven't had an MVP. They won the Supporter Shield. I get all that. You're right. And the fans celebrated that with you when y'all won. And I say y'all, not you. You single-handedly did not win that.
Mm-hmm.
You with the club won that. So the fans of the club are now saying you're not with us anymore, so boo. And the fact that he wanted, what did he want? A tribute video? You know, a tearful moment. Like, come on, bro. Like, get real. So that's my first little red card. Like I said, I'm moving things along.
And look, boos are signs of respect, right?
Yeah.
It's when the fans boo you, they're actually showing you respect because you was a nobody. Nobody would really. They wouldn't have no reason to boo you, right?
Yeah.
So you know, would you want a cookie and a Happy Meal? Get out of here.
Yeah. Right. So, Luciano Acosta, you get a red card. My final red card to wrap up this episode. And this one here, I would be surprised if you heard this because I stay deep in the soccer trenches and trolling and just sludge in the sewers of just different things, right?
Right.
So, I didn't know this. I thought that Manchester United's season was like completely done. And then, like I said, they did their whole deal. They lost to your Tottenham Hotspurs for the Europa Championship, you know, whatever they had going there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after that, and they played the Premier League season to completion, and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the end of their season. There are no more games. They're going to relax. They're going to do whatever. So I saw on Twitter – said something about, you know, they're playing some, like, tour, you know, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be coming over to America and doing some games and whatnot. They did that last year. They played in Columbia, Williams-Brice. Somebody I know went to the game. But anyway, mm-hmm. I digress. So they're doing this, like, tour playing, and I'm like, okay, yeah, they're probably playing with, like, academy players or guys that hardly get to play and whatnot. And so they lost the game to the Malaysian, a Malaysian all-star team of sorts, right? And so I'm like, okay, that's crazy. The fact that you lost to some Malaysian all-star team—that's its own thing,
no
right?
No disrespect to those guys. They,
no
they,
disrespect.
They balled out. Yeah, they balled out.
All right, but here's the thing, right? I made the assumption that they did not play any of their star players. And I was wrong. I was so wrong. That is where this red card comes from.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, look, if you follow soccer on just a small little, you know, just casual status, you probably have heard of Manchester United, and they're going through some real struggles right now. But this right here, this has got to be one of the lowest of the lows because – They started some of their younger players, right? And then they made some changes. I looked at the stats, and I'm mm-hmm. looking at some of the players that played. You're talking about Alejandro Garnacho. You're talking about their captain, Fernandez. He played. Then these guys come in at halftime.
Oh, wow.
And yet they lost 1-0. And you know what, Mike? The Malaysian All-Star team? Scored in the second half versus the better side. Okay. You cannot have this. This is the equivalent, right, to the Cowboys, right? America's football team. I know I'm saying that just facetiously because you're a Giants fan, right?
Yeah.
But that would be like the Cowboys losing a preseason match to a D3 football team. That's the equivalent here.
Right.
Crazy. Cannot have the red card.
No excuse.
Right.
Hello.
I saw that and I was just like, what in the world?
Right.
Yes. Crazy things are going on, man. Crazy things.
I love it. And that's why soccer is the best. Soccer and football for others is the best sport in the world. It's the world sport because anybody can get it, right? All of these big name guys from Manchester United, and everybody's worshiping these guys deservedly. So, I mean, I'm not going to, you know what I mean, crap on those guys. But for that Malaysian team to go out there, and like you said, Maddie, they said, oh, you guys are up. Oh, we're gonna put the big boys out here, you know? And they get beat. The guy scored in the second half against them. That's ketchup red. That's bloody red. That's yo, that's infrared right there. You know what I'm saying? Because that was you. I can just can you imagine the fans over there? Can you imagine?
Oh right yeah, they were probably talking about? Crazy. They probably have to nuts.
What? I might have to listen in on this. I might have to go over there. You know, go on one of our sites and see what the fans' reaction is because I know it's going nuts.
Yeah, that's just I had to throw that little tidbit in there because when I heard about that, I was like, "This is insane!" And you know, when you're struggling and things like that happen, and see what I see it as, just to kind of really you know delve into it. So they're struggling with their new manager, and I think that what it is, it sounds like they just give up because it happened at like the, I want to say it was like the 68th to 70th minute, like you know, closer to the end of the game. And granted, these guys have played a lot. They played a ton of games on top of playing in, you know, every cup you can think of that, you know, British football has. Yeah. And they just lost to Tottenham. So they're kind of they're down on the morale. But this right here, this could have been a moment where they kind of come together. And then you lose. And then Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they're fatigued. All these things, right? But it's just like this is a moment where you could have turned this around and said, you know, hey, we come together and got this. Versus we just give up and let them get this. It's just like, man, they're in the dumps right now, real bad.
Yeah, and I have zero respect for anybody that gives up. Right? We never give up. We're gonna fight to the end. We're gonna play to the end. We're gonna fall on our sword. Right? That's what real competitors do. That's what real, you know, super fans do. We're going to support no matter what, right? And when you see a team, a story team like Manchester, like you said, Matt, that's no excuse for that, man. That's, man, come on.
Absolute red card. Cannot happen.
Heart pumping Kool-Aid over there. I mean, come on.
Soft as Charmin over here.
Yeah, right. Soiled Charmin at that.
All right, Mike. I think that's gonna wrap us up, though.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Until next time. Have fun. Be safe. And have a super fantastic week. Peace.
Later, you knuckleheads. Until next time.
Joining us in showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.